Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
You know, we spend a lot of time on Memory Alpha, but I'm a Sigma, okay?
You're a bottom. I mean a beta.
Motherfuckers out here being Zeta, okay? So I watched today's episode on Paramount Plus because I assume that's where you watched it.
Yes.
But I actually have an extended cut of this. Which I think has some deleted scenes, but then also has like an intro from Gene Roddenberry himself. And he's like walking around talking about it. It's weird. It was just weird to see him talking and walking around. It's been so long, you know?
Because, yeah, especially since he's been dead since the 90s. Yeah. That's got to be a little
and,
weird.
And I guess like he did like a 20-minute intro, and then the show plays, and then he talks about it at the end too. But I decided I'm not going to watch this one because I know Sue's watched that Paramount Plus one, and if this one has extra shit in it, I'm gonna look like a dumbass.
Well, not only that, but the fact that he spoke for like an hour because, you know, he probably got paid by the minute, you know.
That's right.
You know, because how he is. shit. So, this week we are discussing what some call the season one. Episode one, some call it season zero. Episode one,
I've seen it classified as that more often than not.
Yeah, so I classify the season zero episode one.
That special that I was talking about calls it the lost pilot.
Yeah, I remember I first saw this pilot in the menagerie in the original series, but my brother bought the VHS version of it called The Lost Pilot, The Cage on VHS back in the day. It was like, oh shit, they actually did this one. I remember watching it going I was probably what, teenager, and I was like going, I like Kirk better. But at that point, Kirk. I grew up on Kirk. So it was like, you know.
No, Kirk is better.
Yeah.
But I feel like this version of Pike is not very charismatic.
No, he played well. We'll get into all of that before we get into all that, I trust if you are a true Star Trek fan, not you know, one of those that claims to be but hates all new Trek, season three trailer came out this week. Actually a condensed version came out during halftime of the Chiefs, who else did they play? I don't remember. They lost, but it doesn't matter. But during the Chiefs football game on Sunday, and then it said, after it played that, I was like, watch the whole trailer online. I was like, motherfucker, you've been teasing this shit all fucking day, or all fucking week, and now you're like going, you can catch the full trailer online. I was like, mother piece of shit. So then I watched the full trailer, and yeah, I masturbated to it a few times. As one should. I mean, you can't call yourself a Trek fan and not watch this and jerk off to it.
The only thing that I'm kind of curious to see play out is the villain is not very threatening physically, which means there's some kind of psychological or power dynamic going on.
Well, they never really say how she's the villain. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, so I'm very interested because she seems kind of weaselly.
But to be fair, as a fan of Amanda Plummer's work, she can be very very.
She is the shit. The actress herself is the shit.
Yeah,
I'm not critiquing the actress, but also, you know, you saw Moriarty in there.
Yeah, and I want to see how Moriarty and lore fit into this whole thing.
Yeah,
so I'm very curious. And now because there's this, they featured this new character that's in there, not the captain of the Titan, but another character, and people are like, "Who is he? Who is this guy? Is Beverly carrying a secret?" Because now they're assuming that maybe it's Beverly and Picard's kid or something like that. So I'm like, I don't think that's going to be the case, but I think it's going to have some linkage. Maybe it's the new Wesley.
Yeah, because what's his face who plays Wesley's not going to be in it because his arc finished, right?
Yeah, in the last season, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how that all turns out, but I like the Admiral on the bridge and Captain on the bridge. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited for that. I did like the fun they poked at the original series. Well, you know, it's going to be quite boring. We're not going to get into fights with anybody. We're not going to have shootouts. We're not going to crash on purpose or inadvertently. And it shows the ship scratching the hull of another ship. I was like, you know, and then Picard saying the good old days. I was like, yeah, we'll have to see how that all works out. So, that's going to be fun. I can't wait for that. Also in some sad news, if you guys checked out Picard season 2, the Borg Queen played by Annie Wershing, passed away this last week. She died of cancer. And, which I was kind of like, whoa, really? And apparently she was diagnosed with cancer in 2020, but she continued to work. She was even the Borg Queen when she was fighting cancer. So, and one of those things that I didn't realize, because our boy Trip shouted out on Twitter, he goes, yeah, this is really powerful for me, because he goes, I loved her. She goes, she worked with me on her first work in television. She was on Enterprise in the first season too. I had to look back. It was that episode way back in the first season. Remember when they found that ship crash land on that planet, and there was something they were trying to figure out, and realized that, and it had Odo in it, and everybody on the ship died, and he created all these holographic versions so she didn't grow up alone, because they wanted to help him get the ship off the ground, but he wouldn't let them and they couldn't figure out why. And she hit Trip and her. It's called Oasis. We did the episode probably, yeah, back in 2020. Or
yeah.
So that was her first gig in television. And then she was in shows like 24, The Rookie, Castle, and a lot of those showrunners came out and had praise for her, saying how she worked on 24, which I didn't realize was her, but then I saw a clip and I was like, oh God, I remembered her on 24. And Kiefer Sutherland came out for her too. Jeri Ryan, of course, and Alison Pill, who of course had the Borg Queen in her, all had great things to say about her. So I was really surprised. And she leaves behind a husband and two kids. So, and she was only 45 years old. So
cancer fucking sucks. One of my kids asked me, why is the catchphrase for cancer "fuck cancer"? And I'm like, because it's literally the best thing.
Yeah.
To say, it's just cancer is such a piece of shit, you know, like it, because a lot of times, yeah, people go get cancer because they kind of deserve it, like they're smoking three packs a day or something like that, but a lot of times it's perfectly healthy people and it's just your genetics goes, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
sucks.
Or just the environment you're in and you don't know it, because there was out here in the valley, there's if you lived up in Chatsworth, like up near Chatsworth Park and stuff like that, there's a cancer cluster around there. Come to find out, it was because Rocketdyne was pouring shit into the water system.
Jesus.
Yeah, in the 50s and 60s.
And then the answer is always, oh, we'll just give you a bunch of money for your troubles. Bitch.
Yeah.
Money don't cure that shit. You know what I mean? It's like fucking crazy. Yeah, they, you know, they've been trying to fucking cure cancer forever, but it's weird. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. And so it's really sad, especially for her, because she was really talented. I loved her as the Borg Queen. I thought she did a great job.
Really good.
Really great job. And it was weird too, because you see her and she's like, you're like going, oh my god, she's fucking scary. Then you see her out of the makeup and you're like, god damn, she was beautiful. And a redhead who I kind of have a little bit of an affinity for. Mm-hmm. But but anyway, so here we go with this week's episode, The Cage, which is first part of the TOS. And some people are going to probably question, like, well, why are you, know, you're going into The Cage and then you're going to TOS? Actually, chronologically, it's this, then Discovery season 1 and 2, then TOS. So that should be fun, particularly season 2. And
yeah, season 1 is all right.
Yeah. So in this this particular one, is the original pilot, for those of you that don't habla. it was filmed in, I think it was 1964 or 65, predating the original Star Trek, Where No Man's Gone Before, which actually was the second pilot, which turned into, I think, the third or fourth episode of that first season. And we have a different Christopher Pike, who... Now, he seemed too dramatic. There were moments where there was like some good levity. Mm-hmm. And you kind of saw that little bit of that Bruce Wayne animated series smirk.
Yeah.
You know, that I saw it when he was doing that, when he said, I'm not used to having a woman on the bridge. And then number one kind of looked at him and then he's like, well, you're different. And then he just kind of had it when he looked down at that pad, he's just kind of had, I could see a smirk on his face. I really like what Bruce Greenwood and Anson Mount both did with Pike. They made him a little more relaxed, not as stiff. And I think just a little more personality.
Well, the show overall became less stiff than this pilot. Cause I mean, this was a military outfit.
Yeah.
Unless he was walking through the halls. Looked like they had civilians in the
on the ship. Yeah, looking like they were ready to play tennis and some flip-flops.
My man had some flops. I said, bruh.
He's got his swim trunks and his flippy floppies.
You're no ocean here, pimp. Where the fuck are you going?
Even the ship, like the bridge itself was all metal, like all steely, kind of gray. Yeah. The uniforms
is not unbelievable that people would look at the technology they had at the time. And
no, it needed to look like now. It needed to look like an Apple store is what it needed it to did. Look like, it you did. Know. I did like the so like, you know, we don't get the voiceover, we just get part of the music, and then, you know, we get that really creative pan into the top of the Enterprise, where you get the crew of the bridge through the I don't know, just the roof of the bridge.
Yeah.
I thought that
skylight.
Was kind of, yeah, the little skylight. I thought that was kind of cool. Even for the 60s, like that was kind of a creative way to kind of dip into the ship.
Yeah.
Spock was very loud with his first line.
He was. It kind of startled me, to be honest. Oh, Jesus.
It's like, you know, little old view's great. It's like, holy shit, dude. You're here at an 11. I need you to take it down to at least a 7.
Like, I was telling Steve that watching this episode was like watching Star Trek in a different universe. Like, everything's just slightly off.
What did I say? It was like Sci-Fi Channel got the rights to it and just kind of fucked with everything that didn't need to be fucked with.
Space travels. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right.
I did like how they picked it up with having a lot of like him being a little gun shy, which plays well because then you see him in season one of Strange New Worlds. So you kind of, that gun shyness kind of still tracks because how he kind of, you know, they come, obviously they had some kind of mission that went completely clusterfuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the dude, that blonde dude that was in the comms, the navigation station had a bandage on his hand. So it was kind of like, you know, and I looked and I go, oh yeah, of course Spock escaped unfazed. But then I noticed when they landed on the planet, he was walking with a limp. I was like, oh,
there's also very Spock's little, a gimp. There's very little of what the crew ends up being. Obviously the captain, but like Chekov and
Scotty and all them, yeah.
Scotty and no one's there. It's just it's just Spock and just Spock, really.
Yeah, Spock's the only one that came over as his character, even though he was the one that they wanted replaced. When they recast the show, Gene Roddenberry fought to keep him on there, and obviously number one became Nurse Chapel with just blonde hair.
Yeah,
I thought it was kind of interesting is the doctor.
Oh yeah, the old guy.
The old guy. Yeah, he's like, you know, when he's like, I didn't say anything was wrong. He's like, what the devil are you putting in there? Ice? Because I can't have a warm martini. I was like,
he was cool, but he wasn't as cool as Bond, bro. Mm-hmm. Keep it 100. Like,
and he was a little too old.
He was a little too old, so it kind of felt more like his dad was coming to to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's not an insult. It just changes the dynamic of the conversation. Like with Bones, they're about the same age. I think Bones is a little older than Kirk.
Yeah, I think he's a little
but not. Not enough to be acting like his dad. You know what I mean? So there was more of a like Kirk felt, I feel like Kirk felt more open to tell Bones to shut the fuck up.
Right.
Than Pike would this doctor. You know what I mean? Like this is his elder. He's not going to fucking scream at him or mouth off. It was weird though. And it's funny too, because I was wondering like, what kind of fucking 18th century medicine is this motherfucker mixing over here?
This is a little Novocaine. Got a little bit of cocaine in it, so this should help you sleep.
It's back when they mixed like really fucking dangerous sedatives, just eyeballing that shit. Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, it's about right. How my mom used to give me recipes when she goes, hey, just put a little bit of this and then just a little bit of that, and here you go.
Yeah, but when you're doing it with morphine.
Yeah. Yeah, you just kind of want to eyeball it. It's like, yeah, but how much am I going to eyeball this thing? So because of this thing that happened on Rigel 7, Pike is, you know, he's got the captain's woes, you know, like he's like, you know, he says like, you know, going on missions of who goes, who doesn't, who lives and who dies, which has always been a trait of all starship captains, you know, is always about losing people on a mission. And I think in some instances, like his seriousness reminds me of Archer in a lot of ways, but without Archer's personality. Because there were a lot of parts where Archer would make jokes with, you know, Trip or something like that. And
well, it's without without Archer's likability.
Yeah.
Like his there's a word for it and I can't remember. Charisma. There you go. Charisma.
And we were just talking about The Rock earlier, right?
Charisma.
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 And what's funny too is that when they went to, when they got the surprising decision to reshoot the pilot, they went with back to Hunter to see if he would play, you know, the captain again. And I think he held out and then he wanted like so much more money. And I think it was, he also wanted like producing credit to get like some extra money and stuff like that. And they were just like, yeah, you know what? No. And then they said, no, we're not going to, then we don't take the role. And then they casted William Shatner and then they changed him to James Kirk.
Yeah.
But originally, the captain was supposed to be, Pike was actually supposed to be Robert April. So
I don't know who that is.
Robert April? The first captain.
Yeah, I still don't. You could say it twice. I still don't know.
Robert April.
I'm looking it up.
The first captain of the Enterprise. The admiral in Strange New Worlds. You know, Pike's, Pike's buddy. He's the.
Yeah. I know who we're talking about now.
You lying piece of shit.
I am lying. I have no idea.
Well, true Star Trek fans know that Robert April is supposed to be the first captain of the Enterprise.
True.
And he was
also race swapped.
Yeah, race swapped.
Because he was white in the animated series.
Yeah.
And black in the new series.
Yeah. It's
fucking woke ass Star Trek bullshit. I'm just not good with names, okay? Mm-hmm. Sorry. Steve's such a Gen X dude, okay? He'll say something, and I'll go, I don't know what that... And then he repeats it. I'm like, oh, that helped.
No, but this time I said it three times.
Yeah, that's what got it. It was the third time.
Of course.
And then I didn't even look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing when you get disciplined. You get swatted the first time. It's like, nah, that wasn't so bad. Get swatted the second time. Yeah, harder, daddy. Then when they do it the third time, okay, you know what? They mean business. They mean business. This guy's got to stop.
Wait a minute.
I think you're getting a little too personal on this now.
I feel personally attacked.
Literally. But the big issue with this episode is, like, they couldn't tell it was radio waves. Like, the Enterprise is passing through what it eventually became radio waves. But they were like...
Which is an odd thing for it to pass through.
Yeah. But to make that much, like, they're, like, going... They thought it was a comet or something. Like, there was... Like, they were approaching something. And it took a while before they realized the distortion were radio waves. And I was kind of like, but then again, you know, it's like, this was the 60s. Now, the way we know, you know, how things, it's like that, they would have just detected a radio wave and not passed through like some visual representation of radio waves.
Like, they were doing like a sonar thing.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Yeah. They were, it follows with the whole, this entire episode, everything's overdone.
When they go to warp speed.
They go to time warp. I'm like, what is this, Doctor Who?
Well, like, they go to warp, and if you haven't seen it, when they go to warp speed, because this is like the big thing, and they even have the music key up, like it's a huge...
It was so dramatic. A tear came down.
Like, it dissolves in it, like the bridge has this, like their heroic stance on the bridge, and then it kind of like... in and out dissolves and fades in over the star backdrop. And it was just kind of funny because I'm like, wow, when they go to warp, they phase in and out of space time. Like, is this what's happening here?
Imagine if they kept that, like, that every fucking time.
Oh my God.
You get so tired of that shit.
But it was funny too, because even in the, when they did the new Star Trek, or not the new Star Trek, but the Star Trek that went to series, it was just the ship went faster. It's like, okay, like, I don't understand how, you know, that it was just so over the top cheesy. But so apparent, the whole thing was that it was a distress signal from a Vega colony. They were going to the Vega colony, but they got this distress signal from, I'm trying to remember what that, oh, it was Talos, the Talos Star Group, Talos 4. And Pike initially said, like, look, let's forget about it. You know, we don't know. I was thinking, like, no captain would have done that. Even if they had injured people, they would, like, they wouldn't have ignored a radio signal, 18 years old, just even on the off chance that somebody might be alive.
Isn't the ship, because they said the ship that they thought might be over there was the Columbia.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same ship that they, from Star Trek fucking Beyond or whatever the Kelvin one was?
Yeah, I think so. Well, the Columbia was also the original name of the Enterprise.
Yeah, so maybe it was just a coincidence.
Yeah. And like they didn't build more than one ship. You know, more than one ship called Columbia.
More than one called Columbia. Columbia is a pretty common.
Yeah. So
say it's the same ship. That's all I'm trying to say. But I don't think 18 years would fit that timeline anyway.
Well, yeah, but wasn't
that was an NX class?
Yeah,
the
but
Columbia.
Yeah, but what? Yeah, the NX. Yeah, because it was before. Because they made mention of Archer and the Zindi War. So it was just probably right after that.
So that been what, 50 years?
Yeah, prior to that, at least. Yeah. So they detect that they're that the ship might have had survivors. So then Pike alters course to go to them, which I still thought was a little weird. That he would just
be like, he's like, why would we go there if I don't know there are survivors? I'm like, okay. That's fucking strange.
Yeah. Even Archer would have been, well, let's go check it out, you know?
Like, maybe we're supposed to believe his sensors are that good. We've just seen too much Star Trek to know that they're not.
You did make a good point with all the paper.
Oh my God. These motherfuckers, they'll be at a computer. And then they'll print out the results on a piece of paper and then go bring it to the captain.
And they use the dot printer too.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get it. It's the 60s, you know, but it still looks so fucking dumb.
but even I said, I go, even in the TOS series, like he would hand him a pad. I go, but it had to be an Apple product because he still used a stylus on it.
Yeah. He's always signing some shit.
Yeah.
Well, then you had that dude with the clipboard that was fucking just standing there constantly. Like, what are you doing? You got navigation numbers or what?
Bro, there was one. I don't know if you noticed this, but remember when, and this is obviously later in the episode, when the Talosians, you know, I guess, you know, depowered the Enterprise, like everything went black.
Yeah.
And everybody's working on shit except for the two dudes standing near the turbo lift. I don't know if you noticed that, but everybody was working on the consoles, but they were the two dudes standing next to the turbo lift chatting.
No, and I didn't notice.
Yeah. I looked and I go, there's always two dudes that are just fucking off.
This episode's a mess. Like it really is a mess. There's a lot of times where it just shit doesn't make any sense. Like the pacing of this episode is horrible.
Yeah.
Like it goes really fast in the beginning and then it slows to a fucking crawl.
Yeah, because when you said they go, this episode's moving for a fast clip, and I go, yeah, but then it slows down. And it's when he's captured. Like
dramatically slows down.
Yeah, when it focuses on him and the Talosians, you know, Pike and the Talosians, that's when it slows to a kind of a halt.
And then it was going quickly just long enough for you to get used to it.
Right.
And then you're like, Jesus Christ. It feels like you're watching fucking taffy get stretched in slow motion. Well,
one of the things I noticed is that the time on Paramount Plus had 63 minutes.
Yeah, it was long.
I was like going, that's longer than even the TOS stuff, because that's like TOS stuff is like 45 minutes. I was like, going, that's a bit long. Maybe
there's some deleted scenes they left in or something. Because it's the remastered one.
Yeah. I like when Pike gets captured and shit, and they put him in that cage, and then you see like this kind of cool looking beast creature, and then Birdman.
I need to know. What's the race? I need to know.
I thought it was funny because I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, that creature looks pretty cool. I like that monster creature. And then I see this Birdman. I'm like, what
caw,
the
bitch?
Caw, motherfucker.
Somebody literally just swung by and got a Halloween costume real quick.
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, because like the ship stuff,
the ship stuff.
It was like the away team. Like the away team was packing like they were going on a fucking camping trip. You know, like I go, you know, even when they moved over and had Kirk and stuff like that, they just went down there with their weapons strapped to their legs, and then if they needed shit, they have it beamed down. Motherfucker had a fucking hiking backpack on it on his back, and then over the underneath these. I don't know what you call them. The outer. I guess they used them in Strange New Worlds because I remember Pike in them kind of had some of those away team uniforms. But these wraparound coats, and underneath the wraparound coats was all the weaponry, all the community. I was like, that's not necessarily ease of use. Like, if you needed that shit in a hurry, what are you gonna?
Yeah, like that outfit kind of seemed more like. you're going to go meet dignitaries, but you don't trust them. So you keep the heat on you.
You
don't want to look crazy when you come up.
Anybody got their conceal and carry permits on them? Okay, everybody got them? Because, you know, we're going in strapping is what's going on. But then when they go back the second time, when they're going to go back down to the planet and it's Spock and the two other guys and then number one and the yeoman. And then when they beam down, it's just the yeoman and number one that beams down. And then Spock sticks out his hands and goes, "The women!" I was like, okay, dude. We need to kind of dial it down a little bit.
Was the 60s. You know? But still, it's so funny because, and you see this a little bit in just the show overall, where they're really saying women can do anything men can do, but it's still painted with that 60s perception of women.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of like they're trying. You can see that they're trying, but the men are like, you know, women can be, you know, running these ships and stuff too. In the future, right? Anyway, this bitch that yesterday was telling, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it's this fucking... Yeah, you could definitely be second in command. What about captain? Captain? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay, slow down there, honey. All right, you know.
Like, what it is with these broads. You give them something, they want to fucking more. That's all it is. You know? Like,
what did Bill Burr say? He goes, yeah, you know, women want to know why they get paid less than men. Because when something happens, women and children, for whatever fucking reason, get off the Titanic first. And I get to stay. So until you and me get to stay, you can get a little less money.
You know what? I've kind of realized over the years, the greatest part of Bill Burr's humor is he'll say something that's like off color or whatever, but you can't argue it away.
Right.
Like, he'll present it in a way where you're like, wow, that's kind of fucked up. But I don't have an argument to go against it.
What's hilarious?
I don't think it's fucked up. I think he's right most of the time.
Well, what's hilarious too is like when, you know, women watch him and then they laugh and they're like, he's right. Like, you know, he calls them on the shit and they're like, you can't argue with that. He's right.
That's true comedy though. Yeah. Is you turn the mirror and you're like, oh, you fucking asshole, but you're right. You know? I still love it, that clip when some woman was like, heckling him.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, Jesus, there's always one. He's like, I'm doing a comedy show here, sweetheart.
Are you the one that got up and went to the bathroom in the middle of this?
I love it.
Oh, because he was talking about
get called out.
Because what it was talking about, no reason to hit a woman. And yeah. He was like, going, I can think of like 10 off the top of my head. You know, I could think of, or no, he said, like, I could think of like 20 at the top of my head. Coming out of a troll drunken stupor, I could still come up with 13. But you don't do it. You just gave me another reason. I remember the clip.
Just gave me another reason. You're another reason. God.
Oh, man. But so the whole purpose of this is him being captured, Pike, getting back to Pike. The whole reason for Pike getting captured, and then he's paired up with this woman, Vina, who was the lone survivor of that Columbia crash, is for mating? To create another race?
Yeah. He's supposed to be like Adam
and she's Adam supposed and Eve, to be Eve kind of thing. But she's basically throwing it out there. Like, you know, this is, you know.
Hot and heavy.
Right? Yeah, she's going to. But Pike is too cerebral about it. You know, he's like.
He's trying to figure it out.
Figure it all out.
He's not paying attention to her bullshit.
And she tries.
I mean, that's G shit, though. You know what I mean? Like, you know. It's like, I don't just show up on some desolate planet and some woman just starts throwing herself at me and there's nothing around. Something's going on.
Yeah. I mean, if it was Kirk. He would have banged
Kirk
that shit.
Fucked her, then figured it
out. He would have figured it. Yeah, if it would have fucked her and then figured it out. And, but like, you know, so they used a couple of different scenarios. They were projecting, you know, using stuff from his memory to project certain settings. Like, they went to Rigel 7 and used her as, you know, the damsel in distress for him to protect her, to form some sort of bond. Didn't quite work out so well. Then created the image of him in Montana, I think, where he took his horses and then she was his wife and like this. But
I like that part too, because she had got, you find out that the what are they called? Talosians,
yeah.
They punished them by like just giving them massive headaches, basically.
Yeah.
So he started to question things again, and she's like, now, dear, you know how all your questions give me these headaches. he basically was like, if you shut the fuck up. That shit made me laugh, dude.
That's
the best acting I'd seen from her yet, because most of the shit was horrifying.
Still that look that she gave when they go to Rigel 7, and she's like, we need to run. You know, maybe go to the castle and find some weapons. She's trying to role play this whole thing, and he's like, wait, they're using stuff from memory. Like, he's verbalizing what he's figuring out. And then she gives him this look of like, ah, fuck it. And then turns and runs towards the castle.
Yeah. He ain't playing games. He ain't playing along with it.
Yeah.
It was funny because she kept it real with him, though, because he's like, you could tell our handler or whatever, I'm not going to play his game. She goes, you're still going to feel it. He's like, oh, wait. You saw the look on his face like, what?
Oh, but, and then they do that. And then they use one of his, you know, alternate realities where he said he could, you know, what was it, become like a slave trader or something like that, or, you know, something like that. And then then we get the introduction of the Orion slave girl. Not that appealing.
No, it looks like it was half-assed done.
Yeah. It's like, let's kind of smudge most of this on here and, you know, and, then he has this weird anxiety attack when the guy's over there like, yeah, Captain would give up his soul for something like this, right? And he's just kind of having this like panic attack and then dips out, but then finds himself back in the cage. And, you know, the transitions, though, I thought were kind of cool, especially that one when he ran out and then he ended up walking up and he ended up back in the cage, you know, and then she was there. And then they realize that she's not doing the trick. So the Talosians go ahead and bring number one and Yeoman Colt.
Yeah. And the dude's like, now you have a choice. Now you can pick one.
Now you can pick one. And
but then also very 1960s, you find out that, of course, both of these girls have somewhat of a crush on them.
Right.
And I'm like, Jesus. And you know who still does this to this day? Japanese anime and manga. They call it... the genre is called harem. It's always, there's one dude, he's usually a dork though, not Pike, and every woman wants him. Like, they fight each other.
Jesus. Because
he's so fucking great. I'm like, what teenage boy reads this with his fucking lying on his stomach with his feet kicked up? I want this to be me.
Well, what's funny is that, like, so he brings them down there and he's, and I love this fact, because he's like going, now you have a choice. She goes, yes. And he looks at number one. He's like, yeah, she is intelligent, would produce, you know, very smart children. And he's like, here, who's young and strong, you know? And I was like going, oh, so this is how it's going. Okay. This is where we're.
It's like, the dumb bitch is kind of cute. Yeah, that's basically what he said.
Yeah. He's like, and to me, She was kind of doing it for me. She was cute. Yeah.
She was cute on like a little house on the prairie kind of way.
Yeah. That 60s kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had freckles.
Yeah. You know. The freckles and the red hair and all that shit.
The house on the prairie. Damn. I just watched shit on a TV line.
Dude, when you were saying that, all I could picture was fucking the Sarah Gilbert just like running down the hill of like, what was
that's
it?
That's right. It's ingrained. It's ingrained
it
in
is.
Your head.
It is. That's programmed, as they would say nowadays. But I like how, but before they get captured, they go down there to try to, you know, harness the ship's power to fire an ultra weapon at the entryway to try to gain access in there. But not realizing that the Talosians have such immense brain power, mental capabilities, I guess, that they created an illusion that looked like they, you know, they weren't they didn't make a dent.
Yeah.
But, oh, one thing
I also like, there was real quick, they said, there's something that hit me that the chick said that I thought was really poignant, was where they said that they've gotten so good at the making their illusions real that they stopped creating things. They stopped doing anything. They just sit around and fuck around with their thoughts. And I'm like, God, that sounds depressing.
Because she made the reference to the ship. Yeah. That a broken ship still is broken.
When they could have tried to fix it, but culturally, they don't do that.
Yeah.
They just sit around and fucking dream.
What I thought was interesting was the briefing they had when they had everybody, you know, in the briefing room. And they were talking about the Talosians. Like, they had this information about them, but I'm like, you only saw them for like 5 seconds. How did you have all this other information about them? You know, like their skull, like they had fucking like diagrams of like the brain of the Talosians. I'm like, you guys just saw them for like 2 seconds. How did you have time to create all of this?
Yeah. It's, there's a lot of questions after watching this episode, to be real.
I mean, yeah, this is a pilot, so you could have worked things out later on as you went on. But I thought it was just a little weird on that point of like, oh, God, you guys only see things for like a second, but then you backwards engineer everything, and then suddenly, oh yeah, this is what they are. Why didn't we figure this out before? Which kind of made me look at it going, okay, so this is how it runs. Then there's every reason that Rigel 7 failed is pretty much presented here too. Yeah. But I did like the fact that when they decided to make a break for it, because they brought their laser pistols.
Yeah, this is some Buck Rogers shit. I was like, when they pulled that shit, I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, thank God they got rid of that fucking thing.
I know. It was like,
it even had later, you see them, they changed the settings by twisting it, and I'm like, this is goofy, bro. That looks goofy.
Like, I was like, how do you know like where you're sitting? You're just like randomly turning it.
Like, are we at Disneyland? Because that's goofy,
bro. Okay. I did like the fact that when they had the phaser set to the side, or the laser pistols, because he called them, I think, laser pistols or something like that. They had them to the side, and then they fucking goofy ass motherfucker opens the side door to try to get it, to try to grab them while they're sleeping. And then they jumped them, and he fires at the glass, but it looks like nothing happened. He goes, I'm saying that your illusions show that there's a hole in there. He was like, how about I try this against you? And I was like, Jesus, like fucking Pike is getting real with it. He was going to test it on fucking on the Talosian's head. But what was funny is when he did that, there was a look that Number One and Yeoman Colt gave. And in my mind, I kept thinking, is it weird that I'm horny right now? This is really turning me on right now. Like, that's what they're thinking. So then he reveals that they blew a big old hole through that, which could have been the other way too. That could have been a total, you know, mind fake. But then you kind of figure that it was, because then when they got up there, they go, you know, you did everything that we wanted, because they got back to the surface. So I was kind of like, so wait, what? Like, I think you're just kind of trying to make shit up now.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. Exactly like that. He's like, you're in the surface, which is exactly, sure, this is what you wanted. That's how I felt 100%.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. Because I literally get that look on my face where I put my chin up and was squinting like, sure, buddy.
Yeah, because when he said that, I was like, going, wait, what?
You played right into our hands. Sure, we did.
Excellent. And so I loved when the Talosians were what was they doing? Data researching through the ship's computers. And like, as far as future stuff went to 1960, like there was nothing, you know, beyond that. Like, we were seeing all old maps and shit, you know, like Gray's Anatomy kind of diagram of the human body and all that shit. I thought that was kind of funny. And then they seemed astonished when they're like, when they, he goes, you want to assimilate the information we suggested, and like, your race cannot endure captivity, even if it's pleasant. And I was like, no.
Which is true.
Yeah. You know.
In all human history, any form of captivity always fails eventually.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting. So they're going to just let him go.
You're free to go.
Yeah.
You're useless. That's basically what they said. You're useless to us. Just take off.
Just get the fuck out of here. Yeah. But then we get to see.
Fuck off, bitches.
Then we get to see what Vena actually looks like. And,
look like the Hunchback of Notre. What the fuck, bro?
Little rough there. Like someone had
Then the reasoning was really dumb. Like they never seen a human, so they didn't. I'm like, they know how shoulders need to be level. They got the same fucking thing.
One thing that I did think was kind of cool, visually effects wise, was when he was when the other Talosian was assimilating the information. There was that part of their head that kind of puffed in and out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I looked at it. I was like, oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
A little gross, but still kind of cool. Like,
turned me on a little bit. What?
I mean, it did. Did it make me come a little faster? Yeah, probably. I would say maybe might helped. But in
my defense, I was already coming. So, you know.
In my defense.
In my defense, Your Honor.
What was it that I saw that Bill Burr said? He goes, no means no. No, it doesn't. Because, you know, you go, like, no, stop it. You're bad. Don't. He goes, no. He goes, if you said no, okay, that means no. He goes, you get a bad reading in a court case. Your Honor, she said, no, stop that. Don't do that. You're bad. He goes, I'm going away.
For real.
That's not how she said it.
Context is very important.
I love how he said, if you get a bad read. that's not how she said it.
You'd be at the sea going, now wait just a fucking minute. Sick of this shit.
So they release the Enterprise. The Enterprise gets their power back.
The Schumacher tape.
and both Yeoman Colt and Number One beam back to the Enterprise. And then, because Pike first said that if he lets his ship and, go, send up, Number One and the Yeoman, and he'd stay there, you know, with Vena. Just to negotiate is, and then they found out that humans would basically revolt. So they said, get the fuck out of here. So they go
same thing from the Matrix.
Yeah.
Where the first Matrix they created was perfect and humans were like, nah. Where's the struggle?
Yeah, exactly. And then they get the struggle and they wish for perfection. It's humans like most franchise fan bases are very fickle things. Yeah. And so they beam back up, and then, you know, he finds out the truth about Vena, that she can't leave the planet because otherwise the illusion is broken.
I didn't fully understand the wishy-washy fucking explanation as to why she can't leave.
Because then she wouldn't look the way she looked. She's basically,
oh, yeah, that's true. She wanted to be young.
Yeah, basically. She wanted to be young and normal. And so Pike was like,
and hot.
And it's like, for who though? But then again, it goes back to ego.
They cloned fucking Pike without his consent. I think they just made a fake version of him or whatever. But.
Well, they created an illusion and ran off together. And then he came up and, I like when he beams up and they're like, What about Vena? She's not coming. It's like, and I understood her reasonings because that bitch got ugly and I didn't want to stare at that every day.
For real.
Because when they call,
he had that look on his face too. When she changed, he was like, ugh. I was fucking laughing so hard. I'm like, bro, try to hide it a little bit. You have to be such a dick.
When she turned back, you just see him go, God damn.
Damn, bitch, what the fuck? I was done. I was laughing so fucking hard.
You didn't get beat by the ugly stick. You got hit by an ugly truck. What the fuck?
Damn, bitch, what the Oh, shit.
God damn. You don't look like Janet Jackson. You look like Freddie Jackson.
I thought you were fucking human, bitch. You're fucking gross. Oh, Jesus.
It would have been, if he looked and he goes, and just like that, he looks down at his dick and goes, it went away.
Well, I won't be hard for at least a week.
That's an image. Oh, God. So they get back to the bridge and see, this is the kind of, and when they get back to the bridge, that moment could have been a little more humorous, but with him playing it so straight, it just came off. I guess you can say it came off as some more, I would say Picard in probably the first like two seasons of TNG would have come off. Cause when, the yeoman goes, Captain, I want to know, who would have been Eve? like it's like going, really? You want to know, like, you know, would I have picked you?
That was funny.
And then
you've given your report.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm out of here. And then that other dude like comes up and is like, as in Adam and Eve. And then when he just gives him that stare and he just like, yeah, I got you. It just kind of goes to a station.
What did Pike say? All ship doctors have dirty minds.
Oh, yeah.
Which was weird because it's like, oh, at the end, we're going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like this entire episode was so fucking serious and almost to the point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
Because I think Star Trek's always had a really good way of being tense, but also throwing a little, you know, one liner here and there, some comedy or whatever. To kind of soften it and make it more realistic, this episode wasn't like that. It was just constant drama.
And what's
like, Jesus.
And what's funny from what I remember of Where No Man's Gone Before, which was the second pilot, it was very 180. And I think part of it's because of Shatner. I think Shatner's, you know, charisma, where, you know, he kind of, I remember him making pointed, you know, made fun jokes at Spock, but then Spock got a bigger part, so he had more of that logical dynamic, which I think kind of took care of that seriousness. Mm-hmm. So because I don't think McCoy showed up until technically the episode after that, which became the first episode, the Man Trap, I think, which was the was the salt sucker. When they I love when they made that reference in Lower Decks. It's like it's a salt sucker. No, and you just see that creature behind. What was his name? The first officer.
It's definitely that salt sucker is definitely something you don't want to stick your dick in.
Yeah, definitely. So overall quips.
It was goofy. It's a pilot, you know, and I think one thing that I needed to kind of temper with my opinions, on, is that this was the 60s. So I have the benefit of already watching decades of Star Trek.
Right.
So my judgment of this has all that information. So when I kind of realized that and was like, okay, what if I was coming at this? I had never seen anything like this before, my interest would be piqued. I would be like, oh shit, like this is kind of cool, you know, blah blah blah. And I think most of my negatives are they just did it way better later on.
Yeah,
which isn't fair to that episode. So
well, what I was reading, NBC didn't make this easy on Roddenberry.
Yeah. Well, he, what you read, Roddenberry himself wouldn't stop talking about that for fucking decades, of how much of a struggle it was for him to get the show on.
Well, because from what I've read, you know, they had Roddenberry pitch four different ideas. One of them was The Cage. One of them eventually became Mudd's Women. And the other one eventually became, oh God, I'm trying to remember, but they eventually all became Trek episodes. But
of course, I mean, if you already got the ideas on paper.
Yeah. And then, so they picked this one and they gave him like such, a tight schedule. And according to the producer, I believe he said something to the point of like, NBC wanted him to not be able to deliver.
Right.
Almost like they just had it out the gate that they did. I was like, oh, then why greenlight it if you don't want it to succeed?
Yeah. And that had me, was he a name in Hollywood at this time?
Not really.
So then, yeah, then it makes no sense because people who had more clout in Hollywood get dismissed. Yeah. So why were they playing games with them? It's fucking weird.
Oh, Return of the Archeons, of the Archons, was the other one. And I believe it was also, the other one was These Are the Voyages of, which was the Enterprise finale.
Yes, absolutely. Written by Roddenberry himself.
Which were written by Roddenberry himself. And obviously that would be an episode you would do as a pilot. we're going to do this as a pilot. And then the rest of the series is reverse engineering of how we got to that point.
I can't. I fucking can't with you, bro. For real. I just fucking can't. Fucking idiot. These are the voyages. Nah, I'm good.
Even in the 60s, they're like, this sucks. This has this.
What the fuck is this?
Merges two shit that we don't even care about. What the fuck? So it just seemed really weird that they were putting him through the ringer on these. And then, of course, the story goes that they didn't like the pilot, but they managed to somehow convince NBC to give him a shot of doing a second pilot. Because he called this, like, you know, the wagon train to the stars and shit like that. And basically just kind of, he basically catfished him. He was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a Western in space. And which wasn't it at all. It was about procreation and, you know, human fantasies. Right. But when you see this, and then I remember seeing, you know, where No Man's Gone Before, a complete 180. It's the Star Trek that we know, and it's more familiar. Obviously, yeah. This is a work in progress because, you know, most pilots usually kind of have an idea and then they kind of work it out later on, which is why in some, you know, network pilots you see, oh, these care. And then suddenly in the first actual episode, characters are gone. Certain, you know, characters that featured prominently in the pilot were, you know, removed. One big one was like the A-Team. Dirk Benedict didn't play Face in the first episode, in the pilot. And they ended up getting rid of him and putting in Dirk Benedict because they realized the other actor looked too young to be a Vietnam vet. But instead of reshooting those scenes, they just left it the way it was. So you get the pilot with a different face, I guess. and then another one was, I just had the other one in my head and now it's gone. But this happened quite a bit. Oh, 21 Jump Street. 21 Jump Street had a different captain in the very beginning. He was kind of a white guy who was kind of like a hippie. And then they went to series and they got rid of that guy and put in the captain, the I can't remember the actor's name, but the African-American actor to play the captain for the rest of that series run. Mostly now when they do that, if they change an actor, they reshoot those scenes with the new actor. So there's continuity, but back in the day, they just kind of like, hey, we'll just leave it like this. So I think this lays a good groundwork for it, but
It would definitely pique my interest, you know, be like, oh, what's this? Especially if no show like this existed. Like, what sci-fi shows were around at this time?
Well, I mean, most of them were like lost in space and
campy shit.
Yeah, campy shit. So here you
like had Doctor Who was around, but I don't think any American in the 60s had seen Doctor Who.
Yeah, because Doctor Who was 63, and then that was in 1963, and that was the UK, so that wouldn't even be here. So it's really kind of interesting when you see this and you're like going, you know, and you hear people talk about like, oh, the old Trek. It's like you got to understand too. It's like you can't dismiss old Trek because that's where most of this shit comes from. Most of new Trek stems from old Trek.
It's like, and I know this is an odd comparison, but when someone goes, oh, old Trek's trash, new Trek's great, it's like saying romantic comedies are trash, or romantic comedies in the 90s were great, but Shakespeare's trash. That you can't, without him there isn't this, like, you know, it's people not respecting the source.
Yeah,
and honestly, anyone who tells you Shakespeare's trash just doesn't know how to read it.
Yeah,
because it's not a subjective opinion thing. Shakespeare's not trash. Well, you don't have to enjoy it, but it's not trash.
It took me a while just to figure out how to act Shakespeare.
Acting's got to be a whole other level to it.
Yeah, trying to figure out how to pace the dialogue, how to figure out what's going on. There were some, there was a version I remember in high school that had one side was the original and the other side was the American version, or the more, not American version, but the more modern version of those lines. So you were able to kind of get an idea about it. But after you figured it out, it was really easy. Because I remember when I did Shakespeare for the first time, they're like, use each comma, because there were very few periods in Shakespeare. It's like, use every comma to be your breath part. And it was like, okay, that gives me a little bit of a bigger opening. And then, you know, slowly figuring out to translate everything they're saying and finding your points. It's really tough. But once you did it, it was like, oh, okay, I got it.
I would actually really like if someone... they got a team together, whatever, real professional job where they translated Shakespeare into modern English.
I think some have done that.
Not a half-ass job, like almost like they do in some biblical work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then use that as a script for new movies. Like, I would love to see the movies redone. Like, so here's the thing. I don't have a problem with Shakespearean English, Middle English, or whatever the fuck it's called, because I've read it so much. There'll be a word sometimes like, huh? And I have to kind of look it up or whatever, but you get the gist of what's going on.
Right.
You know, and you're fine. But I've noticed that most people, it loses them. Like, they're just like, what? What? Like, they just don't get it. I remember seeing it in school.
Yeah.
We would do Shakespeare and everyone's just fucking confused. And I get it. You know what I mean? It's like me in math class, just fucking, huh? How do those fucking numbers do that? You know, and the stories themselves are too culturally significant for it to be ignored just because you don't understand that version of English. Like, I think they should be doing some professional translates. And I know a lot of Shakespeare diehards will fucking probably want to kill me for saying that, but I mean, you know,
no,
I'm not saying change the story, just modernize the English, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think sometimes, but I think what needs to be done is it needs to be taught alongside the original Shakespeare.
Yeah,
or the original Klingon, whichever you prefer.
You could do what a lot of, and actually I was just thinking about this before you said something. A lot of Torahs for our Jewish friends, they'll have you open the book and they'll have Hebrew on one side and English on the other side.
Oh, right.
Do that for Shakespeare. I'm not saying Shakespeare is as important as a holy text. I'm just saying it's important enough that it deserves a certain bit of professionalism, not just I made 10 things I hate about you. There's your translation. Like, that's different. That's a reimagining of the story.
Clueless as Emma, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. I want the actual story in the actual time period that it was written for, but just in an English that everyone is approachable for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is very, I mean, like I said, you know, when I first started doing this, and this was, you know, late 80s, early 90s when I started performing Shakespeare at school, There was, or there were books that you could get that had the breakup, but it was not modern English, like, you know, bro, sub dude, you know, like, not like that, but it kind of explained the line. So you kind of had,
it was like a professional level of English.
Yeah.
But modern.
Right.
You know, and it's still going to require some reading comprehension.
Yeah, exactly.
But because I've tried to show my kids, I think I put on the one that, I think it's Hamlet or Macbeth, but it's the one Patrick Stewart is doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty sure it's Hamlet.
Yeah, I think it's Hamlet.
And my kids, I was with my son, and he's like, he told me straight, he's like, Dad, and he had me pause it, he goes, I can see that this is good, but I don't understand what anyone is saying. He goes, I kind of do, but it sounds like someone who doesn't really know English but has all the confidence in the world. And I'm like, that makes sense. And he says, it's just enough that it's taking me out of the story. He told me flat out, he goes, it's kind of pissing me off because I can see you enjoying it and understanding it and laughing.
There's a certain sense of feeling dumb.
Yeah, it's making him feel stupid. Yeah. He didn't say that, but I know that's what he meant. He feels like an idiot. And I told him, I said, don't feel bad. This is an English that no one uses anymore. There you go. You don't need to know it.
It's like, don't feel bad that you're stupid. It's okay.
Don't feel bad. We all know you're an idiot.
We thought of putting you down at birth, but you know, it's like the doctors were against it. So it's like, what are we going to do?
Well, he was asking me, he's like, how do you even understand? I'm like, I don't know. When we took Shakespeare in class, it's just easy for me to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they just get it. It's not hard.
Shakespeare is kind of one of those things where you need to read it first before you see it.
Absolutely. And you're hearing it, your brain doesn't process it correctly.
Right.
Because it's constantly trying to translate it into a language you know. Because the biggest problem with Shakespearean English is a lot of the words are the same, but they don't have the same definition.
Yeah.
And those are usually the ones that still throw me off because I'll forget. I think like Mary means something different.
Yeah, to be merry, or even gay.
No, not that. Even different. There's some.
No, word no, 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 no. Like, I'm saying they use gay in the dialogue, yeah, but yeah. It's meant differently than.
It means homosexual. No, I'm just kidding. I know. So
it means to suck that dick is what that means. Jesus.
But yeah, it's. I don't know what we're doing. Catch our Patreon on Shakespeare.
Right. By the way, I sent you a picture of your Hawkman.
I went to every alpha trying to look to see if it had yes to see if it had a race. It just says various races in the cages. So this was before anyone gave a fuck about canon.
Right.
Wait a minute. Is this the race from that Lower Decks episode?
Oh, the bird one?
Yeah, the one we didn't like.
Maybe.
This has to be.
I think I liked it a little more than you, but yeah, it wasn't.
I don't remember why I didn't like it, to be honest. I think the whole episode annoyed me.
Because it dealt with the that pod. It didn't really deal with anything
else. I hate that fucking character.
Yeah.
That fucking floaty thing. Yeah. Data should have just fucking killed him back in the day. Let me find that
episode. I mean, I like that the first episode. Oh, I just joined Starfleet to piss off my dad.
That was kind of fun.
But yeah, so for me, I particularly... The episode was better than I remember, but also keep in mind because of, you know... And to be honest... It wasn't the visual effects. It wasn't the set. It wasn't the you know, the superficial stuff that people go like, oh my God, I can't watch this because it looks like this.
Yeah.
The remaster did look clean. It looked really good. I personally, there were just, the characters weren't very, even Spock, you know, like the characters weren't very, I want to keep saying grabby, but I mean engaging.
I think a big problem with Spock is such a cultural icon that I can't I can't get my brain to accept the Cage's version of that character.
The smile?
Because I saw him and I go...
The smile? Okay,
huh?
That smile?
Well, yeah, that and just the way he was talking. Like, I even told myself, I'm like, okay, he's going to be different. And I'm like, no, this is too much. Like, I can't do it. And I didn't do it, okay? No compromise.
The one thing I did really like, and this happens when we get to Discovery Season 2, when they go back to Talos, you know, in Season 2 of Discovery, and they go back to Talos, and when they do previously on Star Trek, and they show clips of the Cage.
I thought that shit was great.
That was so fucking amazing, because I was like going, wait, they're going back to Talos. How are they going to do this? And they just did previously, and they just showed clips from that. I was like, thank you, God. For like saying like, we're not going to change it or do something different. We're just going to show you this. This is what you need to see. This is where
we have people reacted or just some fucking goofy shit.
Yeah. And I'm just like, God, holy shit. That was fucking great.
That's one thing I really liked about the new Trek is they really do respect the older stuff.
Yeah.
But even Lower Decks, when they showed you saw a picture of Kirk and it was from the animated series.
Yeah.
That's more than a joke.
Yeah.
Like that's respect for the original shit.
Or that, I really like that. When they went to the collector and they saw that giant Spock hanging up there, that was from the animated series. All these things that they pull from just like old Trek, Landru, when they went back to that planet, they're like, but Landru, no, you don't need Landru. it really is great when they do that. And to be honest, I think New Trek, and this is hot take, here's a hot take for you. I think New Trek respects the mythos of old Trek more than actual 90s Trek did.
I think it has more reverence for it. I definitely think the TNG era or whatever, 90s Trek, was so focused on we need to be something new and hip, something different to set us apart. And the newer Trek is more we need to find something that connects us to the old stuff.
Yeah, because if you look at new Trek, 90s Trek, Trek always, each iteration was supposed to take it further. But there wasn't as much continuity within the franchise, not within the series, but within the franchise. There wasn't like a lot of times they try to distance itself from old Trek, you know, the original series, or those old scientists that they said in Lower Decks of the TOS era. But and even in Enterprise, they tried to kind of not embrace it, but kind of still say like, oh, look, we bring in the Borg, we bring in Ferengi, we still bring in 90s Trek, until Manny Koto came in and they said, hey, well, why don't we explain the Klingon thing? Why don't we explain the Orions thing? Why don't we kind of get into some of the original Trek to make it part of the franchise? And I think the new Trek kind of tries to do that. They bring in, you know, the little nuances, like we saw the ship from Enterprise, the Enterprise intro, you know, mentioned in Picard's, you know, Star Trek, and you know, Lower Decks touches on a lot of that, and then the same thing when you have a little bit with Discovery, you know, I think that really kind of is kind of cool, and it's just a level of respect and willingness to be part of that as opposed to, well, we need to be different.
Well, and it's also too, they could have very easily focused on TNG and been done with it.
Yeah.
But they pull from all of it, you know, and I think even Voyager was a lot of people say they hate, but a lot of people liked it. It was on for six seasons.
Seven.
You know, seven, sorry. I always say that. I say that with TNG too. I always shorthand it.
True fan.
The first season didn't count.
My ass.
You're a real fucking fan.
Yeah.
Bitch.
God. He's fucking.
Someone told me that.
He's
for
fucking
real,
posers, man.
I couldn't remember the name of something, and they go, so you're not a real Star Trek fan. And I go, can you fuck off?
I used to like, do that. Please. I used to do that with John all the time. I was like call yourself a fucking fan.
It's like, oh, you're a Star Trek fan? Name five Star Trek.
Jesus. Name five different starship classes.
With their configurations.
And registry numbers.
That's right. Oh, you're a Star Trek fan? Name the five closest races to Sector 001. Like, what?
Oh, you call yourself a Star Trek fan? Okay, in Best of Both Worlds, what was the module number when they... It's like, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, if you're a real Star Trek fan, then say this. How come in the schematics of the Enterprise D, how do they... You're just like... Someone willingly has a PowerPoint presentation ready.
Like, so if you're a real Star Trek fan, if I was standing on deck 5, where would be the closest restroom? Like, bitch, if you're on the Enterprise D, you sprint into something because that place is too damn big.
Here you go. Oh, you're a true Star Trek fan? What are your feelings on These Are the Voyages? Well, I mean... You know,
really enjoyed it. Get the fuck out of my house.
It had some good points. Leave now.
Leave. How dare you?
Oh, you're a true Star Trek fan? What is your view on the Birdman inside the cage? We needed 7 seasons and a movie of that. That's what we need.
Oh, you're a real fan. People have done that.
Respect. Here's my daughter.
I want to say that more people have done that to me with Star Wars, but that's probably because I know less. Mm. But Star Wars fans will do that shit too.
Oh yeah.
What's this? And they'll start referencing books. It's like, bitch, I got no fucking idea what you're talking about. If it wasn't in the movies, bro, and even if it's in the movies, I might not remember. So
that's memory beta, bitch.
Because for real, Star Trek is easy because it's like, well, in the books, fuck the books, bitch. Ain't no one worried about the damn books. The new books, yes, you're supposed to. The new books are all canon, which I actually am very happy that they've done. Because that book I bought that I told you their storyline was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first of 3 of the last of the old Star Trek book runs of that universe. It's like its own universe.
Oh, wow.
Where like Geordi's married and fucking all kinds of weird shit. And I'm like, what? I couldn't even get into it because it was, I just didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, but that's you in life.
Yeah. Now the tie-in books, like all the tie-in books for Discovery, Picard, all the, they're all not, I almost said true. They're all canon.
They're all
okay. True. They're true to me. Okay. They're all canon.
What was it in the other guys? And they go, how do people walk away from explosions? It's like, that's like when that scene in Star Wars where the Millennium Falcon flies from the Death Star. That's bullshit. Hey, stop it. Everything in Star Wars is accurate.
You remember that animation where it was Star Trek versus Star Wars? And it was Captain Picard hailed Vader. Or something. Yeah. That shit was so funny. Shit. I actually watched the series. I think I sent it to you and you probably didn't watch it because it was longer than 30 seconds. But it was like a 3 video series where this dude like really broke down if the Star Wars, if like, I think the way he rationalized it is that someone in the Star Trek universe went through a wormhole and found the Star Wars galaxy, and then they fight each other, and he really broke it down. And Star Trek won, but it was based purely on technology, and it was really interesting.
Well, it's because of the tachyons,
of course.
Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest
the chronometric particles save them from the weapons of the Star Wars universe.
One of the biggest bad things that happened with the Empire is when they got to the Star Trek, the Milky Way, they didn't have any of the hyperlanes mapped out, so they couldn't get anywhere, so they had to do that first. And warp drive was just zipping all over the fucking place. So they were getting fucked up.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah, but yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I think you know, Star Wars, they don't have shields or something like that. Like, it was cool. It was groovy, man. Yeah.
That's cool.
There's tits. Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Just let it happen. Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us, themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.